Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we are looking over some information here as we're doing our garden research and looking over at trends of gardening folks and what's going on. Always trying to track a gardening world, if you will. And
of course, it takes El Paso about 10 years to catch up
right
to the trends.
Exactly. Well, we are a young community, and I thought this was certainly relevant to what's going on in the gardening world. And according to the Gardening Association, annual survey, it says millennial gardeners ages 18 to 34 year olds have set a record high last, making up 29% of all gardening households. And in addition to that, millennials are also responsible for 30% of all house plant sales, believe it or not.
I think that is cool.
So there's a lot of plant parenting going on, maybe sometimes even indoor plants. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is about some household plants. I know that several generations kind of go in and out of fashion, maybe some terrariums, they're kind of coming back into play as well. But we're going to talk a little bit about house plants and maybe some good choices if you're interested in gardening and starting off with your household plants.
Exactly.
Well, there used to be a lot of houses built with solariums in them.
Right, yeah.
And you don't see that so much anymore.
No, you don't. And you know what? Sometimes if they are, there's some like modern homes that have like the solariums, but they're kind of like in the center of the house and then like the little hallways around.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So not very common. And it's kind of a struggle too. I mean, sometimes you think, well, bright light, well, what does that mean?
And I found that that's a difficult thing. A few years ago, we had our windows replaced. It filters out a lot of the light. So you have to be very judicious about where you're putting your plants. And I have a number. I mean, plants are my passion. And so one of the ones that I really like is and has a number of different names. A lot of people call it mother-in-law's tongue. It's called the Sansevieria. And it's, for me, it's almost bulletproof. And unlike, of course, orchids are inside plants. We're not very well connected. I don't have a lot of success with them, but those are, you know, and if you want a garden and you're really not crazy about going out in the hot sun and stuff, there's right. inside gardening and houseplants is a great thing to do.
One of the great things about Sansevieria is that it really tolerates low light conditions. I've seen that growing inside restaurants that have very few
like
windows.
Diffused light,
yeah, exactly.
Almost.
So that's really a great one.
And there's different varieties of it. So it used to be the tall, skinny ones, and now you have kind of fatter, short ones.
And ones with a yellow stripe up the side. I don't know what that.
All kinds of different.
Right.
So you can put a lot of different color in and not really much maintenance on them.
Exactly. Yeah, they thrive kind of like on neglect. You know, just kind of walk by them. Mm-hmm.
And they do kind of send up new ones, so they kind of get a little thicker, not to the point that it's a big, big problem, but they do send up, you know, side shoots that can be cut off. And
you have to, and that's how you propagate them too, is just from a leaf of the Sansevieria. And, you know, it takes a while, but be patient with it and you'd be surprised. And like you said, John, we had a master gardener and his wife, they're both master gardeners, and they have a sunroom, and they brought this gigantic Sansevieria to the greenhouse one day, and we had to separate it. And I'll bet you it made 15 different plants, and there were, you know, the leaves, of course, they're long waxy leaves, and it was amazing. And I took one home, and it's just doing beautifully. So
in college, we used to cut the Sansevieria leaves and stick them in the soil, and of course you want the cut to dry before you immediately stick it in the soil, so you want to give it a day or so.
Harden off a little, callus off a little bit.
And then you always want to remember what the top is and what the bottom
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Don't reverse them, so kind of keep them in order when you cut them.
Or you'll be experimenting.
Yeah.
and wondering why.
Why
they
it's
don't
not
grow
growing.
Underground.
No, they're not. They're not a root vegetable.
Yeah.
A little magic marker with a B for bottom is
right.
a really good idea.
Right.
You know, especially if you're doing a bunch of them. But there's lots of things that you can. Another plant that we've had success with, and it's actually a bulb. Mm-hmm. And Denise, I hope you can say the name, because I can't remember the official name. ZZ. It's called a ZZ plant.
Yeah, we're gonna stick with a ZZ plant for today.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it has a waxy, a shiny leaf. And like I said, it's a bulb. And so once it gets larger, and I've had one outside all summer, but I'm getting ready, of course, with winter coming on. They're not cold hardy. So I'll bring it indoors.
Right.
And I'm going to separate it before and do some sharing, because it's really neat. And I have those in a south window.
Gotcha.
And again, like I said, my windows don't.
And you can.
They filter a lot of the sunlight, so
and
it's
you can definitely
hard.
Divide that ZZ plant and make new shoots. Or you can also even try to. There's a broken branch, if you will, and you mm-hmm. want to go ahead and propagate that. You can propagate the individual leaves.
Yes.
On there as well. It is really a slow growing plant,
yeah,
though, and it looks quite primitive. So it depends on what kind of look that you're going after for your indoor garden space. Mm-hmm. I have one actually in my office right now, and it just kind of sits there. It gets watered whenever I remember to water it.
Which is good. Yeah. Because they don't like, they don't like wet feet. So let them dry out completely. I find the same with the Sansevieria.
Right.
It's really forgiving if you don't remember to water.
One thing that I see a lot kind of coming in and into trend is a lot of these home improvement shows or the home flipping shows has been the fiddle leaf fig.
Right.
That seems to really be popular. You see it all over the place in those remodeling shows, even on commercials, even in backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a local nursery here in town that actually has this huge fiddle leaf fig. It's a little outside of my price range. So I just go and I admire it.
You have a birthday or anything coming up?
No, I don't. But I'll make sure to drop those
Christmas heavy hints. Is coming. Christmas is coming, John.
As we get closer. It has a really great interest to that.
And very unique plant.
Right.
Huge. So you need space for it.
Right.
Because it'll take up a corner of your living room or your den or whatever. And,
exactly.
and again, it likes the good light, too. But,
speaking about ficus, probably one of the most popular houseplant tree-like is the Benjamin the weeping fig.
Right. Exactly.
Which, sometimes temperamental, drops its leaves and,
makes a mess.
Yeah, gets mealybug and all. It's one that was very popular. Mm-hmm. It used to be a lot of houses would have a weeping fig in them.
Exactly.
And light quality is pretty important. Mm-hmm. They do need a fairly mm-hmm. bright light. They were real popular.
And they still are. You still see them like in medical offices
right.
and large business places that you'll walk in and say, gosh, that's been there for a while.
Right.
Well, and don't forget the golden pothos.
Right.
I mean,
you
know, people say, I have a black thumb. Not to worry. You can grow pothos. You
if
know,
you can grow pothos, you're okay.
Yeah. You can. It's amazing. And just cut off a stem of it, stick it in a glass of water, and in an hour and a half you'll have roots.
Right.
It really does go quickly, and of course it twines, and I like to keep it trimmed back because otherwise it gets real leggy and ugly.
And that's really one way to be able to, if you're looking at a tablescape or trying to do some kind of, decorating in your home mm-hmm. or you want to do something and you want to do propagation at the same time, pothos is one way
yes.
to go on that. You just stick it there and you can have a nice mm-hmm. little tablescape, and you also trim up your plant as well. And you'll be surprised to see exactly how
mm-hmm.
many houseplants you can propagate just by putting them in a glass of
water.
Inside,
Yes.
Oh,
it's
right.
It goes from one wall to the next wall to the next wall. How the heck do you do that?
Exactly.
Mine usually start losing their leaves, closer to the center. And this one's got full leaves all the way around.
All the way around,
wow.
You have to pay very close attention to it. Well, and another plant that I have in my house, and I just love them, is violets. And they're easy to propagate just by a leaf. You can cut off a leaf and my friend that propagates with me all the time, the Master Gardeners, we laugh about, we'll just cut the stem off and stick it in the soil. And that's how those propagate. And there's some really cool containers that are out in on Amazon or whatever, and in the big box stores. And they're actual violet containers.
Mm.
And it's a pot in a pot. And the bottom of the pot that you actually plant in is unglazed. Because they're kind of finicky about having wet feet. They don't like the leaves to be wet and stuff. So that unglazed pot sits in water, and so the water wicks up through the unglazed pot, and they're wonderful. In fact, little piece of trivia: February is National Violet Month, and I've noticed that they bloom a lot in February, and those are available all over and. Come in all sorts of really pretty colors. I have them in a north-facing window in my kitchen.
Mm.
And so those are fun. Those are fun to do. But there's so many really cool, unique plants that are out there.
And if you're definitely looking for something unique and timely with the upcoming holiday season, there's a houseplant called Croton that comes in a lot of striking colors of yellow and orange and red. It's a great addition to be able to add if you're looking into putting in another houseplant on there. A lot of times you'll see a lot of products being sold, a houseplant, you know, preservative or some kind of shine, if you will. And, you know, those can get really tricky on there. And what you really don't want to do is you don't want to close up those, you know, pore spaces on those leaves on there. So the best thing to do is to keep your houseplants, you know, dust-free, being of just a clean, dry cloth if needed. There's no need to put any kind of shine preservatives on there. Save that for, you know, your grandmother's cabinet.
Or a Swiffer. One of those little Swiffer dusters. Yeah. It works really well if you've got a lot of them.
Some material that you can put on the leaf. You know, I've heard mayonnaise and milk.
Yes, evaporated milk. That's what my mom used. What's that smell?
I don't want to sniff mayonnaise.
Even just a light, you know, just cleaning them with water and then, you know, kind of drying them off so that it, because especially if you've had a plant outside and you bring it in, you know, maybe it.
Right.
And another one I think that's really cool, you might think about, a lot of your succulents are not very cold hardy, so you can bring them inside, but be very careful. That may be a perfect time to repot them if you haven't done that in a while, because you don't want to bring critters and stuff that sometimes plague those. And if you do have those, a little recipe of what I believe it's 60% alcohol and 40% water knocks back those spider mites. Mm. Just don't overspray. But that's a great way to preserve your succulents over the winter, because a lot of them just, and look them up and see what the cold hardiness on them. Some of them are just, you know, do really well outside. But if you want to preserve them, then bring them inside. And, you know, your whole living room might be full of plants, but that's okay. Your family understands. They already know your illness that you have. So,
of course, the tricky part when you have houseplants inside or you bring in plants from outside inside is light quality.
Yes.
And also, you know, just you have an evaporative air conditioner, you have a refrigerated air conditioner. You have forced heat, so
that's
your plant, you know, days are shorter during the winter and they aren't getting quite the light quality and they may not look as perky.
And grow lights work too. I mean, if you're super concerned about that, and you know, not the most attractive thing to set in your living room, but that's that's an option, you know. And I also bring a lot of plants into the garage, and I do have a grow light in there, so
exactly.
It just doesn't work.
So as you buy your house plant, you want to make sure that you want to look for a spot that's going to be maybe in your south or southwest facing window. It's going to be the plant with that. If not, kind of move it around as you go along. And if you really enjoy them, there's plenty of material out there, especially for the younger generation. We were looking through our Instagram feed earlier and
Pinterest and those things.
And look at all these different collections of houseplants. So it's really a great way to have a gardening as a hobby, putting it indoors.
And if you happen to have a fatality, don't give up.
Right.
No, anything that dies is an opportunity, right?
It's just experience.
Exactly.
So just go out and buy another one and start right over again.
The next time you're at your grocery store, you're going to see all the houseplants. Pick up another one
right.
on your way through the checkout
center.
Very good. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show. And we certainly enjoy bringing you coming to topics and trends and kind of revitalizing them and bringing them into a practical gardening application for us here in El Paso region. And we want to thank you for listening. And thank you to Danny Gonzalez for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
I'm Jan Petterzell.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.